Thank you for tuning in to the Royals in Action broadcast today. Your participation means a lot to us. The essence of this program is to educate you on how to apply the Word of God practically to bring about positive outcomes in your daily situations. And joining us for this insightful journey is R.K. Achina.
So last week, we said that there is an entire journey before the declaration. There is an entire journey before decree a thing and it shall be established. There's actually a relationship before the reward. You see, decreeing a thing isn't some sort of magic. It is born out of a living, breathing relationship with the Almighty God. Amen. So we talked about that. We also talked about cutting out a word. Do you remember? Cutting out a word, which means speaking with authority from a place of conviction. Cut out a word means speaking with authority. You speak out words that come from a place of conviction. And before you can even cut out a word effectively, your life must be so aligned with God that your words carry His authority. And what you decree is in step with His will. We talked about that in detail the last time. We also learned that anybody can just say anything. You know, saying something is very easy these days. But when you tell yourself, I have decided it, I have cut out the word, I have chosen to do this, and have made God's word my final authority, every other thing must bow. That is where true power is. That is where true spiritual power is. Amen. So today, as we continue in this series, I believe you will not only understand what it means to decree a thing in the context of our relationship with God, but you will also understand the difference between simply saying something and deciding it in your spirit. Is somebody following me? I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me quickly to the book of Job, chapter 22. Job 22, the verse 23-28. I'm reading from the Amplified Version because I want you to see the richness and depth of what the scripture is saying. So I'm reading the verse number 23. It says, if you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before Him, you will be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your tents, if you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth, and make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure, then you will have delight in the Almighty and you will lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to Him and He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you read this, it means there is a partnership, right? There is a partnership between your decree and the establishment of your destiny. So anytime you are in trouble, you don't just say for saying sake, you decree. You know, the Bible is full of people who didn't just say words. The Bible is full of people who actually decided. Take Daniel, for example. The Bible says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. He will not defile himself. You see, so Daniel didn't just talk about staying faithful. He stood his ground. He drew a line in the sand. He knew God's word. God has said in Leviticus chapter 19 that consecrate yourselves and be holy because I, the Lord, I am holy. And Daniel stood on that. He decreed a thing. He made a firm, intentional decision that this, that his destiny, that like he made an intentional decision that kind of shaped his destiny forever. Are you with me, somebody? Think about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. That woman didn't just say, I hope I get healed. Maybe if I could just get close to Jesus, maybe he would just notice and heal me. No. She didn't leave it to chance. She stood her ground. She drew a line in the sand. Brothers and sisters, she decreed, she decided that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That was more than words, somebody. That was speech with authority. This woman stood on God's word. When you read the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 38 to 39, the Lord was telling the Israelites to make tassels on the corners of their garments through their entire generation, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners as reminders of God's commandments. And so these tassels were attached to the hem of the garment. So this woman knew what she was doing when she said, if only I touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. She was reminding herself of God's commandments in Exodus chapter 23 verse 25, which says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of you. Oh, somebody, you don't understand. This woman cut out a word. This woman was having this conviction. She was, there was some settled conviction within her that moved her to action. And when she acted on that decision, power was released, authority was released, and her life was never the same. Beloved, that's the difference between seeing something and deciding it. That's the kind of faith that stands. That's the kind of faith that overcomes the world. And that's the kind of faith available to you right now to talk yourself out of your problems and into the blessings and miracles you so desperately need. Can I get a big amen, somebody? I'm talking to you about talking yourself into it the right way. You know, for a while now, I thought decreeing a thing, right, was just about saying what I wanted. You know, it was just about saying just anything that I wanted and waiting for it to happen. But then as I read my Bible, I started seeing something in Romans 4:17, where Paul talks about calling things that be not as though they were. That hits me differently. Calling things that be not as though they were. It's just like decreeing a thing. It's just like cutting out a word for it to be established. You are calling out things you don't see right now as though they already existed. Imagine that. You are speaking to things that are alive but aren't even visible yet. It's like standing in an empty field and talking to a harvest that hasn't even begun to grow yet. You know, somebody might say, that's the weirdest thing to do. Of course, it will be the weirdest thing to do if you are not standing on any promise or just doing casual talk or just doing wishful thinking. But if you are standing on a field that has been barren for 10 years and you are declaring God's promise over it, that Lord, you said you will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. You said you will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. Father, I stand on your word and speak life into the womb of this field. I call this field fruitful. I call this field fertile. I call this field rich. I call this field bountiful. I call this field abundant. I call this field productive in Jesus' name. This is what we call faith. Hallelujah. This is what we call the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't see how fruitful the field is in the physical world because there is no evidence evidence of it that you can see. The evidence that is available to you right now is that the field is barren. But the Bible says, if you have faith, you have evidence of things you can't see right now with your physical eyes. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. The Word of God is the evidence. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The Word of God is that seed. When you hold a seed in your hand, that seed is the evidence of a bumper harvest. Even when there is nothing but empty soil, it rebears, it represents what is yet to come. It represents a future reality. That seed has the potential for a thousand fruit locked on the inside. Let me relate this story to you. It's about a farmer who went searching for a cocoa tree, right? And the cocoa tree was one of the most valuable, valuable fruits at that time. Very, very scarce to find. So one day, his luck shined and he found one abandoned cocoa tree somewhere in the east with just one fruit left on it. He was extremely happy. He approached the tree, plucked the fruit and ate the fruit there and then. But do you know what he did? He saved the seeds of that cocoa and headed back home. And as he was going, he was celebrating. He was telling everyone, I have a bumper harvest. His son looked around, confused, and asked, Daddy, where is that harvest? And the farmer just smiled and asked. Then he showed him the seeds. The son couldn't see it, but the father knew the harvest was already there, hidden in the seed. That's what faith looks like, beloved. Seeing the harvest in the seed, seeing God's promise in the unseen, and calling it forth until it becomes a reality. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. Let me ask you this. What's your barren field right now? Where in your life do you look out and see nothing but empty ground? Nothing but disappointment. Nothing but delay. Nothing but pain. Maybe it's your career right now. You've been unemployed for years. You've sent out application after application, gone to interview after interview, and every time you get your hopes up, they slam the door shut at you. Maybe it's your finances. You work hard, you save, you budget, but somehow the bills keep piling up. You look at your bank account and it feels dry and it feels empty. It feels like you are always one step behind. Or maybe it's your business. You had a vision. You took a risk. You poured your heart and soul in it. But the customers are not coming. The sales aren't growing. And you started to wonder if you missed God somewhere along the way. You look at your storefront, your goods and services, and all you see is barrenness. Or maybe it is your relationship. You've been praying for a spouse, or you are in a marriage that feels stuck, that feels cold, that feels broken. You try to fix things, try to communicate, you've tried to love, but the love feels dead, and you are wondering if that love can ever bloom again. Beloved, wherever your barren field is, God wants me to tell you today that He has given you a seed. He has given you His word. And all you got to do is to plant that word. All you got to do is to speak forth the word. All you got to do is to decree a thing and it shall be established. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. Romans chapter 10 verse 8 says, the word is in your mouth and in your heart. So it's first in your mouth and then in your heart. That's how you plant the word. You speak it into your heart, and that's where faith is. Faith develops in your heart because you believe with your heart and not with your mind. If you speak and tell yourself you are dumb long enough, you begin to believe it. If you speak and tell yourself you are broke long enough, you begin to believe it. That's why Paul said, "For with the heart one believeth unto righteousness." For with your heart you believe you are healed. For with your heart you believe you are not barren. For with your heart you believe that you are not a sinner. Faith develops in your heart, and it develops by way of speaking forth the word, by way of decreeing a thing, by way of talking yourself into it with the word of God. I don't know, but I need you to look for a seed of promise in the Bible and begin to call forth life where there is only emptiness. Come on, right now. I need you to call forth abundance where there is lack. I need you to call forth speed where there is delay. I need you to call forth hope where there is hopelessness. Look for God's word and begin saying it. The Bible tells me in the book of John, chapter 11, the verse number 25, it says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the living word of God. So right now, I speak the word to every barrenness in your life. I speak light into every darkness that is settling in your home, your mind, your body, in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak resurrection into whatever dead thing you are carrying, whether it is a dream, whether it is a relationship, whether they are your gifts. I speak life into them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. The book of Psalms, chapter 23, the verse number 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is your shepherd. He's the one who protects you. So I declare over your life, lack shall never be your portion. I speak provision into every area of need right now. Wherever that you are struggling, may you see the abundance of the shepherd. Where you have been lost or confused, may you hear his voice guiding you to green pastures in the mighty name of Jesus. We are declaring God's promises on your life. The Bible says in the book of Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He didn't say some needs. He didn't say some of the needs. He says every need. So I declare in the name of Jesus that every financial need, every emotional need, every spiritual need in your family, in your business, in your health, I call it supplied according to his riches in Jesus' name. Somebody didn't hear me. Henceforth, you will see God's supernatural provision in every area of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Habakkuk 2:3, it says, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end and it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." Maybe you have been waiting and it feels like the promise is taking forever. But I declare over your life, the fact that you were delayed doesn't mean you were denied. The vision God gave you is still alive. It's still moving towards you. Even if you can't see it yet, I speak patience and perseverance into your spirit right now. I lose every chain of delay the enemy has placed on you in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare divine acceleration over your life. I declare speed over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. May you keep holding on, because what God has spoken will surely come to pass. And for those who are struggling with hopelessness, Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." I declare divine hope into your life right now. I speak strength to your confession right now. May your faith never fail. May your hope never die, because the one who promised you is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. If he has said it, then he will do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That is what decreeing a thing means. This is what talking yourself into it is all about. But you know, as powerful as it is to decree a thing and it shall be established, as powerful as it is to speak God's word and call things that be not as though they were. I have learned in my experience that there are some things that can actually block or hinder what we speak from coming to pass. Are you with me, somebody? Why is it that sometimes we declare, we pray, we stand on God's promises, and yet nothing seems to change? Nothing seems to shift. It's like trying to plant good seed in the soil that is full of rocks and weeds. No matter how good the seed is, if the ground isn't right, the harvest will never come. Over the years, I have discovered that there are some real obstacles that can stand in the way of what God wants to do through your words, of what God wants to do through your declaration. And if you want to see your decrees established, you've got to be willing to look at what might be holding you back. So I want us to take a moment and talk about some of those things. You know, because sometimes the breakthrough isn't about saying more, amen? Sometimes the breakthrough is about clearing out what's in the way. So let's talk about the first thing that can quietly drain the power out of what we decree. So write it down, fear. Fear. That is the first thing that can block your declaration. Fear. Can I open your eyes a little? Beloved, it's possible to believe and be afraid at the same time. Think about it. I know that sounds strange, but it is true. You can stand in church, lift your hands, declare God's promises with your mouth, and still have fear inside you. It's like trying to drive a car with one foot on the gas and the other on the brake. You know, you are putting in all the effort in the engine, you are revving the engine, but your car is still stuck in place. The Bible actually talks about this in the book of Mark, chapter 5, when Jairus came to Jesus. When Jairus came to Jesus, desperate for a miracle for his dying daughter, Jairus was believing in Jesus. He had enough faith to seek him out, to fall at his feet, and to decree that if Jesus could lay hands on her, she may be healed and shall live. But then on the way, the bad news came. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? And so in that moment, you could almost hear Jairus hitting the brakes in his heart. Fear washed over him. Fear hit him hard. But guess what Jesus said to him? Jesus looked Jairus in the eye and said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." I repeat, don't be afraid, only believe. In other words, Jairus, you are pressing the gas with your faith, all right, but you've also got your other foot on the brake of fear. If you want this miracle to move, you've got to lift your foot off the brake, let go of the fear, and let your faith drive. Ah, somebody, you don't get it. Is somebody seeing this? Oh, is somebody getting this into their spirit? Beloved, it was only when Jairus released that fear, when he chose to believe, even in the face of the worst news, that his miracle started moving. That's the same for you, beloved. You decree God's word over your life, but deep down, you are thinking about what the doctor said. You declare, my business will succeed this year, but you are lying awake at night, worrying about the bills. My brother, my sister, as long as fear is in your heart, your declarations, your decrees, it will not get anything done for you. But if you can let faith take the wheel, if you can release your other foot from the brakes of fear and let faith drive, that's when you are going to see God do the impossible. Can I get a big amen? So one thing that can actually hinder your declarations is fear. Take note of that. There is another thief that robs our decrees and declarations of their power. It is called unbelief. Write it down. Unbelief. And here's the thing. Sometimes we think we just need more faith. You know? Sometimes we pray saying, Lord, if you could increase my faith, I could believe you more and get my testimony. But beloved, Jesus never said, if you have a mountain of faith. Jesus never said, if you have an ocean of faith. He said, if you have faith like the size of a seed, you would say. See, the problem isn't always that you don't have enough faith. The problem is that you have too much unbelief. Oh, somebody, you don't understand. Let me break it down for you. The problem most Christians have is like trying to fill a glass with clean water when there is still leftover mud at the bottom. You know what happens next, right? No matter how much water you pour in, it's still going to stay cloudy. It's still going to stay cloudy until you deal with that leftover mud at the bottom. So unbelief is that leftover mud at the bottom. So far as you have unbelief in your life, my brother, my sister, more faith cannot produce the miracle for you. More faith cannot produce the desired results for you until you have dealt with that leftover mud, until you have dealt with unbelief first. Is somebody with me? So when you read the book of Mark chapter 9, you notice a desperate father bringing his son to Jesus and crying out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So you see, he had faith, all right, but he also had unbelief fighting for space in his heart. Beloved, sometimes the breakthrough isn't about getting more faith. Sometimes the breakthrough is about shaking off that unbelief in your heart. Because when unbelief moves out, even a seed of faith can move mountains. Hallelujah. Even a seed of faith can move mountains. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this enlightening journey today. Before we wrap up, subscribe to our podcast so you're kept in the loop about our next amazing episodes. To join our community or support our ministry, click the link in the description or visit royalsinaction.org. Until next time, Royals in Action is here to remind you to embrace your destiny as a chosen channel of God's royalty. God bless you.